was titled The Rich Fool, but I like the word idiot better. Only because we weren't really allowed to use that word in our house growing up. I think my mother was concerned about the fact that there's a passage that says, he that calls a person a fool is in danger of hell's fire. Y'all remember that passage? So she just kind of outlawed it in our house. But there were people at school that used the word all the time. Yeah. Like, fool, get over here. Or did you see what that fool did?
Yep.
I tried to avoid those people. So let me just read a little bit of this for you. And take this down. It's on a trip. It's on your notes. And also, Rick, can you bring the green mic up some too, please? It's on your notes and it's also on the screen. Okay, all right.
It's cranked all the way down.
Okay, so the green mic. That's okay. No worries. I'll just use it.
This one's really good.
Thank you. All right. So here's what it says in Luke 12, real quick. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." This sounds dangerously like last week's sermon on the prodigal son who had to split his father's inheritance, 2/3 to the older son and 1/3 to the younger son. So he says, "Tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter over you?" Let me just say it real quickly. It wasn't that Jesus was against getting into civil affairs. It wasn't that he was against. Rabbis were often asked to rule over domestic squabbles. It wasn't that Jesus was against that. He just wasn't really, he wasn't really interested. I'm just going to turn this down for now. He just wasn't really interested in picking sides on this particular issue because he knew the fairness of the issue wasn't really what the man was looking for. He wasn't looking for justice. He was looking for greed, and Jesus just cut to the chase. You know how sometimes people ask you something and you know there really is an underlying motive behind the question. They're not really asking the question because they're looking for information or the right answer, or they're looking for justice. They're really trying to goat you into saying something that they want you to say, either to incriminate you or to exonerate them. But it's never about real clarity and real honesty. Jesus, I believe, ran into a situation right here. Even though rabbis had the ability to arbitrate over civil affairs as well as religious, Jesus wasn't really accepted in the community as being a legitimate rabbi, unfortunately, to their dismay. But also, Jesus wasn't interested in getting into that fight because that wasn't the real motive here, and it wasn't the real problem here. Okay, so he goes on to say in verse 15 of Luke 12, you can either follow along in your Bibles or in the sheets or on the screen. Then he said to them, "Beware, be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." Back then, as it is today, people felt like if you had money, if you were wealthy, you were blessed. That if you were wealthy, you were righteous. If you were wealthy, you were doing something right and God was smiling on you. That they felt your wealth was evidence of you were living right. And he began reasoning to himself. I'm in verse 16. And he told them a parable saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive." Verse 17, I'm in Luke 12. "And he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I, notice how many times I'm emphasizing that, will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. By the way, always beware of people referring to themselves in the third person. That's usually a giveaway of someone that's very proudful, of someone that's very self-absorbed, someone that's all about them, conceited, arrogant, got a big head. Be careful of that. Don't do it, and be careful of those around you that act like that. He says, so you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's another phrase that you should not use, a dangerous phrase. It suggests that you're in trouble. Verse 20 says, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Lord, on this short message today, we just ask that you be glorified. May we be edified. May we take away the lesson behind the lesson and learn to be generous toward you. Learn to be rich toward you. Help us to learn to lay up treasures in heaven. Help us to learn that godliness plus contentment is great gain. We thank you. In Jesus' name we ask you. Amen. Amen. So, vocabulary list. Two words I would like to define. Ready? Words that we think we know, but we may not know biblically. The word covetousness. We do not use this word a lot in our society in 2025. When's the last time you heard somebody say, man, that dude is covetous? I don't even think I've heard people use the word covetous at church. And that's a very good question, Brother Cole. And I'll tell you what it means. Exodus 20, chapter 20, verse 17, the Lord gave this instruction to Moses on Mount Sinai when he was giving him the Ten Commandments. He said, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word covet means desire or lust to have wealth or possessions of someone else. It's greed. It literally means to have an insatiable desire for excess. Not just stuff, but excessive stuff. And typically not just excessive stuff, somebody else's stuff. I mean, it's okay that you want a Cadillac. Just don't want Brother Cole's Cadillac. You say, no, I gotta have this, I gotta have his Cadillac, this one, this here one, not the one that I can get at the dealership. So covetousness has sort of a dual meaning. It's about excessiveness, and it's also about wanting what somebody else has, what someone else has, specifically their specific stuff. Here's another word that I want to define, and that's the word contentment. The word contentment means that there's an inward trust in God's sovereignty and goodness that produces the fruit of joy and peace. Being content is being at peace. Being content means you're not jealous of somebody else. Being content means you don't have to have what the other guy has. It's being satisfied with what God has blessed you with. How many of you are just satisfied with what God has done for you and how he's blessed you? Amen. And by the way, everybody, contentment and satisfaction doesn't mean that you aren't interested in improving. It doesn't mean that you're not trying to get better. Doesn't mean that you're satisfied with what you accomplished yesterday. It means that you're not regretting where you're at, but you're pushing forward to do even better. Amen. If you gave someone $1 last week, try giving them $1.50 this week. bad example, but I'm saying that we just try to outserve, do better, increase, amen? Find a way to just be a blessing. So I love what Luke 12:31 says. It says, instead, seek his kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. What things, Pastor Will? Not just spiritual things, but some physical things too. God will bless us. And by the way, I said in Sunday school, there was nothing wrong with the guy having a bumper crop and having super success as a farmer. There's nothing wrong that he had the skill set to know how to cultivate his soil, how to plow, and how to create the right rows and the right furrows. He knew something about farming. Yes, he had weather on his side. He had rain and sunshine and warmth on his side, but he also had some skills. Farming is you guys ever watch Clarkson Farm? Okay, I know it's probably not something that most of you probably have even heard of, but it's this ridiculous show on Prime. It's not ridiculous, but it talks about farming in sort of a comedic way, but I learned some things about farming that I did not know. It's not for the faint of heart. Anybody thinking about growing up being a farmer? Find a different career path. You don't want to work that hard if you can help it. Thank God for the farmers. Thank God for those guys and gals, because they do some seriously, ridiculously hard work. And so I give this man props that he had a bumper crop. The problem wasn't that he had a lot of food and he had a lot of grain and that his harvest was amazing. The problem was all these eyes, I was going to count them, but I'm always counting stuff, and I thought you guys would be tired of that. But he just kept saying, I will do this. I have no place to store my crops. I will do the following. I will tear down my barns. I will build bigger barns. I will store all my grain and goods. You know, he just kept saying that. Sounded like this guy I knew, Ella Burton, but you guys don't know him, and he's with the Lord, and it's all fun. We said it when he was alive, so we're not talking about it. But he used a lot of eyes. Reg knows who he is. But people that use a lot of eyes, you have to be very careful, because we can't do anything without God's help. Amen? I is a strong word when you're just using it, you know, in a way that seems like you're the one that's should get credit for it, or that you did something. I love what James says, James 4:13, put this in your notes if it's not already there. It says that you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, he says, why do you don't even know what will happen tomorrow? The New English Version says, he says in James 4:13, he says, tomorrow, that our attitude should be more like, if the Lord wills, we will go here and go there. Will you put that verse up for me, Mark? Thank you, Mark. So I'm going to read it for the NAS. The NASB says here, I love verse 14. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor or a bubble or mist that appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. Instead, watch this. Everybody listening? Everybody looking at this, either in your Bible or on the screen? Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. Amen? Our attitude should always be, if the Lord wills. My mother used to always preface any future statement with, Lord willing. That's probably one of the first phrases we learned. Lord willing, Lord willing, Lord willing, I'm going to have some eggs for breakfast tomorrow. It was always Lord willing, regardless of how trivial the matter might have been. She would preface it with Lord willing, because tomorrow's not promised, right? Amen. So this guy's, it was his heart that was in the wrong place. He was not trying to find a way to give or help somebody else. He was only interested in consuming for himself. So Mark, if you'll just put up one more, maybe a couple more. There's this verse in Ecclesiastes that I want you guys to see. Ecclesiastes 5:10. How many of you are still reading through the Bible with us? Are you reading all the way through the Bible with us? All right. Anybody in Matthew? Okay, beautiful. All right, I love it. Just keep reading. Don't worry if you fall behind. You might still be in Psalms, because that's a big book, 150 chapters. You might still be in Genesis and say, Pastor Will, I'm struggling. That's fine. Just keep plowing. Don't stop reading. Amen? It's the purpose of this exercise is not how much quantity and volume you cover. The purpose is that we just spend time immersively in the Word so it changes us, so it addresses our thinking. And I'm loving this, these through the Bible passages. So check this out in Ecclesiastes. I remember reading this when we were going through Ecclesiastes. I believe it says, he who loves money. Let me just say this. Do any of you all remember Reverend Ike? Yeah, out of New York. Reverend Ike had so many quotable moments, but let me just give you one. Let me just give you one Reverend Ike-ism. Reverend, I can't even say it with a straight face. Reverend Ike changed the Bible. He said, the love of money is not the root of all evil. The lack of money is the root of all evil. He had a million like that. I mean, he was a reverend too. So that just gives my profession a bad name. But Ecclesiastes says, he who loves money, you all still with me? I'm going to be done here in a second. Hang with me for a minute. It says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money. Is that true or not? I mean, I wouldn't really know because I've never had money like that, like what Solomon had who wrote this, because he had like just an obscene amount of money. But his point is, money, period, if it owns you, you're in trouble. You don't have to be rich to be owned by money. You don't have to be rich to be greedy. Pastor will repeat it again. I'm referring to myself in the third person. You don't have to be rich to be greedy. You can be struggling and still greedy and selfish and self-centered. He says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with his income. This too is vanity. Amen? That's a great verse. Here's another great verse that goes along with that. 1 Timothy 6 talks about being content. I mentioned it earlier, but I think it's worth saying it again, that godliness and contentment equals great gain. That's a little formula that we put together. But 1 Timothy 6:17 says, do not be haughty or set your hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but set your hopes on God. Amen? I think that's a beautiful passage. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It says in 1 Timothy 6, we want to be careful. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, do not store for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupts. He says, but store up treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart will be also. Amen. Amen. A person will definitely watch their bank account if they have a lot of money. They'll be watching their bank account more so than they're watching the Lord Jesus. They'll be studying their finances more than they're studying scripture, because their heart is going to be where their money is. And the Lord knew it. The Lord knew it. And by the way, it's not just about money buying yourself a position in heaven. You know, you can't buy salvation. You can't buy righteousness. The rich man, his biggest problem was not the money he had. His biggest problem was that the money had him. The money owned him. All he wanted to do was think about how to get more. His attitude was never about how to give away more, how to give away any, quite frankly. His attitude was not about how I can be thankful or grateful or show some appreciation to God for such a bumper crop. It wasn't about helping the poor or helping the needy. It was only about himself. So lessons for us, as I close, lessons for us. Number one, find a way to give away. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Contentment brings about greater joy than material possessions. And don't think that because you have money, that is necessarily God's approval on your life. That's why they felt in that time that God's approval was evidenced by the fact that a person was successful. Not necessarily the case. Zacchaeus was successful in Luke 19. And he was on his way to hell until the Lord saved him. And when the Lord saved him, he gave away half his wealth and repaid everybody that he had defrauded 4 times as much. The widow in Luke 21, she gave all that she had. She was rich toward God. She was poor physically. She was poor financially, rather. But she was rich spiritually. So I put as a Monday morning moment, I said in Matthew 16, 26, said people who are satisfied only with the things that money can buy are in great danger of losing the things that money can't buy. I'll repeat it again, just in case you don't have it in front of you. People who are satisfied only with the things that money can buy are in great danger of losing the things that money can't buy. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul or forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? You know, I just love how the Lord Jesus in these parables, I love how when people come to him with a question, very rarely does he answer the question directly. What he typically does, what the Lord typically does, and what I think he does for us today is that he doesn't always give us a direct answer. He will sometimes answer the question with a question to cause us to think more about what we're really asking, or he'll cut to the chase in terms of what we're really asking. He'll answer the question with a more thought-provoking question or statement to cause us to do some internal evaluation, to check and see if our hearts are in the right place, or to expose an improper motive that we have that we're trying to cover by looking all deep and pious and uppity and, you know, erudite, where we're like looking smarter, trying to hide the real issue by trying to come across as being heavy duty. And God just exposes people like that. Amen. Don't be one of those people that are just being hypocritical or trying to skirt the issue. Confession is good for the soul. Transparency is good for life. Whatever we confess to him, he says in 1 John 1:9 that he will not only forgive us, but he also cleanses us from unrighteousness. I love that part. It's a phrase that gets left off, but it's so true. Lord, search me. Search my heart. Search my motives. Expose to me the things that aren't right, that you know about and that I'm overlooking, that I'm not seeing, that I'm tone deaf to, that I'm blind to. Help me see myself so that I can become more like you. Help me to get better. I'm happy with 1% at a time, but whatever it takes, Lord, help me to keep trajecting upwardly, getting better every day. Amen? All right. Anyone have any questions before I sit down? Any questions or clarification on the sermon? Yes, Pete.